Hey guys, welcome back to Esthetician on the Edge, the podcast. In case you were wondering, I did not go back on the 15th. And like you, I'm still stuck at home in stay-at-home hell. Soon, my friends, soon the hallowed halls of TJ Maxx and HomeGoods will open to us. The bars will once again be filled with pissed-off estheticians talking about vaginas. But until then, in this week's episode, I swear I'm going to talk about blue light therapy. I'm not going to skip it like I did before. I'm going to share like a little hodgepodge of stories from listeners. I'm also going to answer a very interesting question that I received in my email. And we're going to talk about a dirty little secret that is part of the spa industry. All right, let's go ahead and do this. A follower on IG reached out and asked about blue light therapy. Basically, she wanted to know my feelings on its effectiveness. Let me say first and foremost, I am a huge believer in its benefits, and so is the American Academy of Dermatology and several peer-reviewed studies. That's right, light therapy for certain conditions is backed by the wonderful world of scientific study. Let's stop and ponder acne, or rather the bacteria that is the main culprit, P. acnes. It thrives in dark anaerobic conditions, aka our hair follicles. They're perfect. We're like the hostess with the mostest for this asshole bacteria. But this bacteria can be eradicated if it's hit with a wavelength of about 415 nanometers. Guess what light has that wavelength? That's right, our lovely blue light. It basically kills the bacteria that causes the inflammation of acne. Blue light reaches down into the follicle and it eliminates the bacteria that is found in those oil glands. And this will typically lead to a decrease in the number of those really angry red breakouts that people are prone to getting. Now, this doesn't mean a session or even five under a Saluma. Hey, product shout out, Saluma, send me one. I'll totally test it and review it for you. But anyway, that is not going to make your acne go away forever. That is not how acne works. You all know there's no cure for acne. Consistently getting professional treatments, doing good home care, making smart dietary choices, all of these things will help keep acne at bay for the majority of your clients. Of course, unless there's an underlying medical condition that needs to be addressed by a healthcare professional. You're probably waiting with bated breath for me to tell you the blue lights that you can order off Amazon or other weird little places, they're not going to work, right? Wrong. Sorry, guys. They might not be as efficient, and they might not be as aggressive as the mask and wands that we use, nor is the quality probably going to be as good as pro brands, but clients will see results from using a blue light as long as they check out the specs and make sure that it's at least 414, 415 nanometers. It is a great little tool for a client to have at home. I found that it really helps a client to stop picking and to self-medicating, you know, extracting when they shouldn't be extracting and using toothpaste on pimples. If they can hit it with a blue light, we don't have to worry about them putting some Colgate on there instead. Now, professionally, we have, as I mentioned before, a Saluma, and I think that one, the Pro, goes for around 1.5K, and I know that they have different sizes, and there's a lot of variations in prices, but the one I'm talking about just fits around your face, so it might be a little cheaper, a little bit more expensive, but it's a great model. I've used it, and I've had it used on me. It's flexible, so that you can get super close to the skin, which is really important. And then there are other pro brands besides Saluma, DPL, and God, is it Revive or Revive? I can't remember. I can see the name. I just don't know which is which. But they can all be bought at like Universal companies starting at, I mean, as cheap as $175. Spa and equipment, they also have some pro brands. And the prices vary. It can go from, I think the cheapest I saw was like $499 and upwards of $4,000. So you've got options professionally, some that are very reasonable and some that are like, holy shit, they think I got that Kardashian money. But pick one that's within your budget. Use it with your acne-prone clients. They'll love it. You'll love it. You'll also love the fact that you can add on a little bit of an upcharge for its use. So a bit of a potential in that passive income. For clients, again, it is okay that you recommend that they pick up a blue light to use at home occasionally. And they've got options. They've got a ton of options, actually. The Baby Quasar, which most people are familiar with, they have them for like $100. Dr. Dennis Gross, I'm sure you've heard of his products. You can get them at Sephora, Ulta, I believe. Has a smaller handpiece for around $60. And they can also get those cool, which I see them all the time on my Instagram feeds. They do look cool, not gonna lie. But they can get those cool robotic looking masks to use at home. Dr. Dennis Gross has one and it looks like a really good one. I checked out the specs on it. It doesn't look half bad, but it's around $435. iDermalite, and I've never heard of this brand, but they have one for around $120 and it also covers the neck. And I didn't look at the specs on that one. So tons of options for taking care of their skin at home, for being proactive, which most clients with acne want to be. Blue light therapy always works better when used in conjunction with pro treatments and with good home care. So make sure you remind your clients of that fact. Just buying a mask or a unit, that is not a substitute for coming to see you for extractions, peels, enzymes, and their products. Professional equipment, honestly, it does typically trump equipment that a consumer can buy. As an example, the Dennis Gross unit has 165 lights. It sounds pretty impressive if you're a consumer. Our professional Saluma has 345. Professional units, they are always going to address the problem at a quicker rate, whereas home units, they maintain the progress that we make in a treatment room. And one more thing, remind your clients that if they're going to use these units, especially the mask, you know, the Dennis Gross mask, or the, what was it, iDermalite, remind them that they need eye protection and also tell them to read the instructions on the unit they buy. They are not supposed to be laying under it like a rotisserie chicken at the deli. And I thought, since I was answering that question, you know, I did tell you guys if you have questions and I thought I could answer them, send them on. And I got an interesting question from a follower who wants to remain anonymous because, in her words, this will get me some hate, so please don't share my Instagram. And her question was, hey, I follow a lot of brow accounts on here and everyone, I mean everyone, fills in their brows. I think it's kind of cheating. Of course, the brows are going to look amazing after someone has filled in sparse areas and used concealer to create a perfectly arched line underneath. What are your thoughts? Do you feel like this is cheating? Balls. Balls was my first thought when I read that question. And I did not want to answer it at all because, I hate to admit this, I myself have had this same thought. I'll admit I'm guilty of this. I've watched videos and thought, yeah, you waxed her little pissant brows in like 3 minutes, but then you spent 15 filling them in, running a concealer underneath to hide imperfections. She's going to go home. She's going to wash all that off and cry in her room when she sees what her brows really look like. So I get where this follower is coming from. I really do. Now, if you don't fill in brows as part of your services, watching other people create these gorgeous, beautiful brows, it seems like a cheat. It seems like they are misrepresenting their skills as a waxer by throwing on some makeup, especially when the brow filler inners have like 100,000 followers. This person might have mentioned a few accounts in her question, and I went and looked some of those up. Great brows, by the way. But to answer your question, no, I don't think it's cheating. I reached out to a few accounts and to those who didn't respond, hey, fuck you. Just kidding, but not really. But a few did respond. And I also asked a couple of friends who fill in their waxes as well. And this is what I learned. 3/4 of them include the fill-in with all their waxes, unless the client specifically says, hey, I don't want my brows filled in. And what they do is after they wax, they show the client a mirror so that they can see what their natural brows look like. They do this before starting the fill-in process. So that right there shows you that it is not cheating. It's not cheating. They actually show people what the brows look like. So they're not going to go home, wash off this beautiful brow, and cry in their bedrooms like I used to picture. But anyway, some will let their clients hold the mirror while they fill in, and they'll tell them the products that they're using as they're doing it. Now, this is an amazing retail opportunity that us natural brow people don't have. Some of the other waxers said that they took the mirror away because they wanted to do the process pretty quickly. And then they just told the client the products that they use when they were in the retail area. Of the people who didn't include the fill-in automatically with a brow wax, it's considered an upsell for them. And they ask while the waxing is happening if the person wants their brows to be filled in. If the person says yes, they shoot them a price. They yay or nay it, and then they'll fill it in. Same thing, they show them the natural brow before they get started, and then, you know, they have their different ways of filling it in. Oh, and some waxers I spoke with said that they filled in only. And what I mean by that is that they didn't do all the extra stuff that you see a lot of estheticians doing. Like, they didn't do the, What is it? Oh, concealer. They didn't do like the concealer underneath and create that perfect, you know, edge. All they were doing was filling in sparse areas of the natural brow. If you don't fill in, you know what? That's fine. I don't. But if I had to guess, I'd say the follower that asked the question, like me, she doesn't have a passion for brows. To me, it's another thing to wax. Let's get the hair off. Let's get going. Let's get moving. Give me the next one. I think you've got to have, you know, a real passion and love of creating art with brows to spend more than 15 minutes working on someone. I know some of you who can still fill in a brow, it did not take over 15 minutes, but the majority of estheticians who do these really elaborate brow shapings block out 30 minutes for each brow appointment so that they do have the time to sculpt that perfect shape. And basically to do a tutorial for the client using powder, pencil, and concealer. The only thing that I think is wrong about filling in brows is that y'all don't charge enough. You do not charge enough for all of that precision work that you put into it. Now, I know you love doing it, but my gosh, you should charge more for some of these brows. They look fucking amazing. But I could never fill in brows as a part of a service. I personally... I don't have the patience, I don't have the imagination that it takes to give someone with 6 brow hairs Kim Kardashian brows. But kudos to all of you who do. Okay, for the next segment, I thought we'd do something a little bit different. I think we need some fun, some laughter in today's world. Right now, we need a lot of laughter. But I was scrolling through my phone and I saw a few messages that I had gotten from you guys. I had screenshotted them to use them in a podcast episode, and for whatever reason, I didn't get to use them. And then I thought, how many emails do I have just sitting there? Oh my God, I have so many emails. So many emails. Sorry, guys. I'm going to get to them, I swear. But like I said, I figured we could all use a good chuckle. So I'm going to share some of those listener stories with you today. And the only way I can think to categorize, you know, because usually when I ask you guys for stories, I'm like, hey, send me your waxing stories. Hey, send me your client from hell stories. So I'll try to put these in a bit of a category, but it's going to be like a literal hodgepodge of just shit. Hang with me on this. It'll be worth it, I promise. But I think that the ones I'm going to read now, they would fall into the shit went south and sideways category. All right, so first up, I have an anonymous follower because I forgot to ask if they wanted me to share their IG. Mm-hmm. And it says, I had this old guy who comes in regularly to get his ears and his nose waxed. He's a total dick to everyone at the shop, talks shit about his daughter at every single appointment. I had never waxed a nose before when he showed up on my books, so I yanked out both sticks at the same time. And when I went to cleanse the area afterwards with a Q-tip, it came out coated and dripping with blood. How do you guys do noses? I've seen some weird waxing, some really, really weird nose waxing before. And I'm curious. I always thought with that, at least, there wasn't a lot of ways to do it, but there seems to be a ton. I've seen some people do this weird where they apply wax on the outside of the nose and they kind of skirt in just a little bit. And then I see people do both sticks at once, which to me is terrifying. Who needs to breathe? It's completely overrated. And then I see people doing it the way I do it, one stick at a time. I've got like 5 nose waxing clients and they are obsessed with nose waxing. They are in every 2 weeks. I don't think that's healthy, but I swear to you, they want me to ram that stick so far up their nose that I could potentially do damage to their frontal lobe. I'll give them the mirror so that they can check because, again, they're obsessed. And they'll tilt their heads back. Like, I don't know, like I'm going to waterboard them or something. And they'll move their nose from side to side looking for every little hair. And I'm like, you can't see those. You don't want me to take those out. Those are like the curtains to your brain. How about let's leave them there? Okay, on to the next. Another anonymous, because I'm a loser and once again did not ask if I could use her IG account. But she says, did a client's body scrub with firming properties as advertised by a previous owner at the salon I was at. Massaged her entire body with a scrub and she says everything is starting to burn. Apparently, the main ingredient in the cream was hot chilies, and you were only supposed to use it on really fatty, meaty areas. It was the worst day of my spa life. That sounded horrific. I'll say, guys, I do not miss doing body treatments even a little bit. They are so messy, but I do love a good back facial. All right, on to the next. Another anonymous, because again, I'm a loser. She says that this wasn't really her fuck up. It was the manufacturer's fuck up. They had mislabeled a tube of red brow tint as brown brow tint. We all know where this is going. She said, my client looked like Ronald McDonald and she was rightfully pissed and I did my best to dye over it with brown. But that red was just shining through. And of course, the client didn't believe I used the tube labeled brown tint. She insisted I switch the tubes. This is awful. I think I've told you guys I've dyed mine really, really dark before. But I will tell you something that helps. If you're working in a salon, just pop up and grab some clarifying shampoo. And it will help take that color out. Or you can even do baking soda. It'll lift the color quite a bit. Just take some time and some elbow grease. I did have a client though. This reminded me. She insisted that I dye her brows black, like jet black. You know the what is that brand? I love this brand. Why can I not think of what it's called? It's in the yellow box, yellow tube. You get it from Universal. Intensive. The jet black from Intensive. She insisted that I use it because her hair was black. It wasn't. It was really dark brown. And I tried to talk her out of it, but she insisted. And I was new, so I was like, fuck it. The client's always right, right? Nope. When I finished, she was like, oh no, this is too black. This is so black. I meant light black. What? You mean dark brown, like I tried to get you to get in the beginning? Ugh, I had that client for so long and I despised her. Okay, next. And I think it goes without saying, although I'm going to say it, this one is going to be anonymous too. Look, it has been a rough month, okay? If any of these stories are yours, DM me and I'll scream it from the rooftops. And she says, my bed broke this evening when my client tried to get on it. There she was, naked, as she was in for a Hollywood. Okay, pause. I think that's a Brazilian. Isn't that what some locales call a Brazilian? Let me know if I'm wrong. Okay, back into the story. But there she was naked while I was trying to grab her, grab the bed, and then trying to figure out what to do, all while apologizing profusely. She was just standing there clutching a towel over her lady bits. What do y'all do if that happens? Have y'all had that happen? I've never had a bed break like that. I've never had one break per se. But I have had a bed fly out from under a woman while she was trying to climb onto it. I just picked it up and I was like, sorry, we just waxed the floors. Climb on up there, girl. And she did. She did. I loved her. She was fun. Okay, now this one, this one I do have her information, but she wants to remain anonymous since she still works in the same field in the same exact area. But she says, girl, with lots of I's, R's, and L's, my worst fuck up. I was waxing a client's eyebrows and I got a lump of wax on her lash extensions. I still don't know how I managed to keep my cool and not cry. I kind of trimmed a few of her lashes to get the wax off, and thank God she didn't even notice. Oh, she noticed. Trust me, when she got home, she noticed. Okay, this one, I have a name. I can't pronounce it. Of course I can't pronounce it. It is at Marabohan. I'm going to spell it. At Marbohun. Sorry, I screwed your name up. But this person says, I had a client come in for a brow wax. No problem, right? I bring her into the room. She lays down on the bed. And as I'm washing my hands, she says how she's been so stressed and that it feels good to lie down. I smile politely and get ready to do my thing. Clean off her brows, lay my strip, and pull. Naturally, I examine the very hairy strip, and this one is extra satisfying as my client has really dark, coarse brow hair. It's beautiful. I do the same thing on the other brow, but when I check out this strip, I'm horrified. There is way too much hair on that strip for there to be any decent amount left on her face. I had waxed off a good 2/3 of her eyebrow, and I went straight into panic mode. As we all would, girl, as we all would. I excuse myself, saying that I need to grab some tweezers. I leave the room, cry a little bit, and figure out my next move. So I grab an eyebrow pencil, and I fill in the rest of her brow, and I explain what happened. Thank the good Lord that she was so nice and understanding. Turns out the reason she was feeling so stressed was because she was getting married. Yep, she was getting married in 2 weeks. I don't know how I still have a job after that. I was mortified. Yeah, that's a hard one. Okay, at Kelsey K.MUA. She says, I once was assisting an elderly legally blind. I can't even say this. This is not funny. This is not funny at all. Oh, this is awful. I'm going to hell. Was assisting an elderly legally blind woman to my room and I let her right into a wall. No worries, guys. She was all good. Oh my gosh, Kelsey, you had one job, girl. One job. She also included another one. She said, my first Brazilian I ever did on a paying client, I was sweating bullets, and I'm pretty sure I dripped sweat into this woman's butthole. Whenever I retell this story, I always describe it like one of those carnival games where you have to shoot the water at the clown's mouth. Ugh, what a mess. You're funny, Kelsey. I like you. Now, let's move on to another category. This is a category all by itself, so this is just stupid shit we do to ourselves. This is like our DIY, but she did this to herself, and she's an esthetician. At Lisa Joey 559 says, I had a breakout in my marionette lines. You know, a couple of underground zits that hurt like hell. I took a new Mr. Clean magic eraser. I cut it into smaller face friendly pieces and then swiped it a couple times over the affected area, basically wiping the skin right off my face. I looked like Fire Marshal Bill. Now I'm gonna pause because I have some young ones on here. Look up Fire Marshal Bill. He's horrific. Anyway, she says, what the fuck was I thinking? I mean, come on, girl. Isn't that where everybody gets their skincare supplies between the plungers and the toilet bowl cleaners? She did learn a lesson, though, so we'll have to give Lisa a pass. And this last category, we're just going to call this one clients that make everything awkward. We all have a few of those. And at Glow by underscore Nickel, she says, so I've been doing medical aesthetics for 8 years, and I've moved to Chicago to rebuild this med spa. I started really hitting it hard with Brazilian laser. The laser I use has a detachable plastic piece that sticks out. I've now had 4 patients clench their butt cheeks so hard that their assholes that their assholes swallow my handpiece. And I have to ask them nicely to release as I quickly yank it out, acting as if nothing happens. That's all I got, but it's always entertaining to me. I love that, actually. You had a lot. I like that. Oh, and she did include a bonus story. She says, one of the strangest stories I have involves a Brazilian bikini client, a Brazilian bikini wax client. The first time I did the wax for her, I said, would you like me to do underneath? And she gave me a quizzical look and said, underneath? I said, yeah, between the cheeks and around the rectum. She said, oh, the butthole. Yes, do the butthole. My husband prefers that. Not long after, I ran into her and her husband out in the real world. She was so excited to introduce me to her husband as the girl who waxes me. I could not even look her husband in the eyes. I did not need to know her husband's preferences when it came to her butthole. I don't think clients realize how awkward that is for us. That they automatically put a picture in our head of their sex life when they do stuff like that. And the last one I have is so fucking strange. Although I would have probably hit him if he asked me. I wouldn't have cared. I'd have been in for it. Trust me. But anyway, I think this person wanted to remain anonymous. I couldn't find their IG account when I looked back. And they say this male client was like walking raging testosterone on a stick. Picture Hulk Hogan plus Ric Flair. He comes in, we start his back and shoulder wax, and I'm making small talk to hopefully distract him from flinching and yelling and calling himself a, quote, pussy baby bitch. First sign that this was going to be a weird appointment. He then starts aggressively talking about how his ex-wife was a bitch and how his only son hates him and he feels like a failure. Then, in the middle of his personal therapy session, he turns to look at me in the eye, and as serious as a heart attack, he says, you know what? Will you just slap me? I'm serious. Just slap me. Slap me in the face. It'll hurt less than this. I think at that point, he was no longer referring to the waxing, but to his emotional trauma. I kindly tell him that I will not slap him. But fortunately, the service is almost done and he won't be enduring pain much longer. This man insists that I slap him and he begins to slap himself, like his face and shoulders, loud and hard after every strip I pull. I'm kind of just standing there like in shock for a hot second. But I mean, he wasn't touching me or being threatening towards me, and we were like 3 strips away from being done. So I continued to finish up his wax. I'm walking him out and he's handing me my tip. He says, you know, I like you. You're cut and dry, but in a good way. A real no-nonsense type of woman. If only my ex-wife would have been like that. And he left. I didn't know how to feel for like 10 minutes after waxing him. He was a lot to take in. We used to have a saying in an old dog grooming salon that I used to work for. You attract what you are. Well, I must be insane because I always attract the wildest clients. Yeah, that one's insane. Is that not crazy? Could you imagine? I would have totally slapped him too. I wouldn't even care. I'd have been like, okay. All right, so we've broken up the boring with a hodgepodge of curated stories. Now let's get into our next segment. I want to talk about a dirty little secret in our spa industry. It's dirty. No, really. It's really dirty. When all the COVID stuff started happening, I, like you, was quick to hop onto the, esthetician washing their hands 100 times a day since 1775 or some shit like that. I made a meme about it, for God's sake. But we all know that is not true. There are a lot, way too many dirty estheticians out there. When I was in school, and I'm sure that you guys had some of these same people, there were people who did not clean anything like they were supposed to. And they sure as hell didn't sanitize for shit. And you just knew in school that those were the people that you never received services from because they were nasty. Now, when I taught, again, I saw it all the time. If I had a class of 21 students, and this is not an exaggeration, I would tell you at least 7 of them would have to be pulled to the side and told to stop being nasty. These are grown-ass people. And the dirty ones, I hate to say it, but they are so easy to pick out. You just look for the lazy. Like, you can pick them out. Hell, I could stand in front of the class the first day, and I could tell you, just from looking at them, who was going to be a problem when it came to sanitation. And those were the ones that I watched. And the first time that I saw them have a sanitation violation, I would crawl up their ass. And then I would tell my classroom snitch, because every classroom has a snitch, to let me know, to keep an eye on them. If it happened again, tell me. And it always happened again because they are lazy. Some people think this industry is easier than it is, and they're not expecting the amount of work that you have to put in to be a responsible, good esthetician. I did have this had this one student who thought she could skip the barbicide with her extractor because people would steal implements out of the barbicide. And they weren't really stealing, guys. I'm sure you had this in school. And you know, there are some thefts in school. I will give you that. But 9 times out of 10, it's just you guys leave your shit in the barbicide, and at the end of the day, your teacher takes it out and she puts it in her supply of abandoned tools. Because she's told you a million times, if you left it out one more time, it must mean you don't want it. But anyway. And we had another one who got caught all the time. Like, this happened every day, not washing her hands after she used the restroom. Had another one who would sneak a glove off during a Brazilian because she would say she couldn't get a good grip on the strip. I had another one who would blow on the wax because she was a kitchen beautician for years and years, and she got caught and had to go to school in order to get out of getting fined. So she blew on her wax at home. I swear to you, like, I almost smacked her on accident one day when I saw her puckering up to blow. I had a fucking mom flashback, I guess. But do you see where I'm going? It happens everywhere, and they don't stop those bad habits in school. They carry them into their practice. As a practicing esthetician, I've taken over rooms with wax pots that are swimming in nasty wags. My latest place that I'm at right now, oh my God, I wish I could post pictures of this wax pot. It was like so disgusting. I sent a picture of it to my bestie. She was horrified. She said, throw it out. But yeah, there was a broken stick, like fibers from the sticks in the wax. One of the wax pots had a hair in it. You know, I've been into busy wax rooms and there's only one single mascara wand, and it's because they reuse it on every single client. I've seen tweezers with hair still attached in a barbicide container. I've found disposable sponges with makeup stains on them, and they've got them in their drawer dry, and all they're going to do is re-wet them and reuse them. I've found strips of hard wax with hair on it behind trash cans, under beds, and beside their bed, and that tells me that they're not sweeping and mopping their floors. I've found lancets, and you know, there's different kinds of lancets, but the ones I'm talking about are usually they're purple looking, I think, or pink. And they've got like the little knobs on the ends that protect the sharp tip. But I found them lying in drawers with the little protective tip off of it. And I'm not saying that they've been used, but I'm saying that they should have been thrown away. But that SD is still going to use those after they've been rolling around in that dirty ass drawer for who knows how long. And then there's the bottles that are greasy and oily from where the esthetician hasn't cleaned them from their last facial, or fuck, who knows from what facial. I've seen steamer arms coated in mask and oil and cleanser. I've seen barbicide with so many floaters in it that it actually looks like there's glitter in the barbicide. Mask that's still caked into the bristles of supposedly sanitized brushes. You know, or going into a new room where they don't have any wipes for clients to use before the bikini or the Brazilian wax. Now, as a client, I also know Estes are dirty. I've had Estes try to do extractions on me without gloves. No, ma'am. I've had a woman start to clean me for a Brazilian without gloves. No. I've pulled back blankets, almost laid down on sheets that still had oil and massage cream on it from the person that was before me. I mean, I'm sure you guys have had these experiences. You know, you inherit a client, and when you go to prep them for a service, you hear, "What are you doing? My other esthetician never did that. She just laid down the wax and got started." You know, I had a client marvel at the disposable paper that I put on the bed for her full leg wax. Yeah. Insane, insane. There are lots of these kinds of people out there practicing, and we know it. And I get it. Sometimes when we are back to back and you're running behind, it would just be so easy to not change the bed linens or to give your tweezers, you know, a quick little wash and skip the Barbicide. But we can't do that. You shouldn't have done it before, and you sure as shit can't do it now. Our industry, oh my God, it is extremely high risk. We are such a high touch field, and we are inches from people's faces all day, every day. We could potentially be the epicenter of another outbreak of COVID very easily when we are allowed to go back in to work after quarantine. And to that end, I think that there are going to be a lot of changes specifically for our industry because of the fact of how, you know, high touch and hands-on we are. So today, before I sign off, I want you, dear listener, to tell me, where do you see our industry going from here? Are we going to be in masks all the time now? Is the era of magazine-filled waiting areas, is that over? Will this mean more classes are going to be required in sanitation and disinfection? Will this mean more inspections from our health department, maybe even our licensing boards? Will this mean the state steps in and requires mandatory time be added to our schedules for proper cleaning and disinfection after each client? What's beauty post-COVID look like to you? That's what I want to know. So send me your thoughts on that subject to either the email estheticianontheedge@yahoo.com or shoot me a message through my Instagram. I really want to know what you guys think it's going to look going forward. So please send those to me. Don't be scared to interact. I love when you guys interact. Okay, that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you guys for listening. I really appreciate it. Thank you again for leaving all those 5-star ratings and those wonderful reviews. And because there are Pams in every walk of our life, as always, wishing you a Pam-free week. See you next show.